You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Samuel van der Wieken. He is in Brussels at the moment. Samuel, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me in your show.
I want to ask you about your work right away, but maybe just before that, can you tell me a little bit about what it's like in terms of the arts in Brussels, in the city that you're in at the moment?
The art scene in Brussels is supposed to be quite interesting at the moment. Even 2 years ago, I actually was in Leipzig for 1 year, where I did a residency, and I stayed for a while. And even there, they were telling me, hey, Brussels is actually more interesting than Leipzig to be right now. So you should maybe go back to Belgium and be in Brussels, because it's quite an interesting place for the arts. And I have to agree that right now there are quite a lot of interesting galleries now who put up really interesting shows. And even the art fairs are quite interesting, because we have our own Brussels art fair. But now also the New York Independent Art Fair came to Brussels to show their galleries here in Brussels. So a lot is happening right now. So I think it's a really interesting city to be as an artist as well. And it's not as expensive as the other capital cities in Europe to be. So it's good to have a studio here.
And is there funding for artists? Is it a place where it's relatively easy to live? Because in Europe, I sometimes hear, especially as opposed to the United States, where there's really no funding for artists, and in big cities it's expensive. Is there support for artists and funding as well as for curators?
I think it used to be more easy in the past. There's also the crisis in Europe at the moment, so It's hard for young artists to find support from the government right now. There are channels to try to get money, but it's mostly for more known artists who already have a career, and it's more easy for them to get funded by the government to make new projects. As a fresh new artist, it's really hard to prove yourself because you don't really have a curriculum yet. They really want people who they can support and can trust in their career moves. So if you're just at the beginning of a career, it's really hard. But, yeah, we struggle through it.
So tell me a little bit about what you're working on now, because you're also at the beginning of your career. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm now working professionally 2 years with a gallery here in Brussels. It's a Cusenaire gallery. And before that, I was actually working for my own non-profit organization in a smaller town called Mechelen. And I didn't spend enough time working on my own stuff. I was more organizing exhibitions and things and working with other artists. Until a certain moment, I wanted to really focus on my art practice. So I stopped working actually for my organization, and I went to Germany, as I said before, to Leipzig, to really focus on my painting practice, which I started doing. And then when I came back from Leipzig, I moved to Brussels, where I worked for a whole year. And then the gallery picked me up, and so that's where I am now, actually, in my career.
I want to talk about your paintings and a little bit what you're working on and how that happened. But also, I'd like to know, what was your non-profit organization, what was that doing? What was the purpose of that, and how did that begin and end?
It started when I finished my education, which was painting in Ghent. Then I moved to Mechelen, where it was an empty building from former school that was empty, so I could use the spaces for artists. They rented from me so they could have a workspace there. And next to this, I was making my own exhibitions with the artists who were working there, and friends and people who I studied with. And in the beginning, I just worked with people I knew, and then little by little, I started to work with artists who were friends with other artists. And after 3 years, I worked with, I think, 120 artists in total. I did major exhibitions with 30 artists at a time and stuff. So a lot of my time went into this, but at the same time, I was learning learning a lot. I saw a lot of workspaces of other artists. I got to know a lot of people in the art world, and I got to know how it worked. And so it was a really big lesson for me while doing it. But it just happened organically, actually. I never thought of what it was going to be like. And actually, when the fun stopped in doing it, I also stopped the organization because, yeah, I wanted to do something else, which was focusing on my own practice.
And that organization was there any funding for that as well, or that was something
there was
that
funding
you could
from the
without...
city. There was funding from the city. Was a small budget we got in the beginning, and I also tried to find private funding. I talked to small businesses within the city who supported me in paying for exhibitions and stuff, but. Well, we were talking about between 500 euros and 2,000, 3,000 euros per exhibition. So it weren't really big fundings.
Right. So you still obviously needed to have another means of income to survive.
Yeah. I also worked in bars, and I worked in an art supply store, and I did several jobs next to this. I started off as a graphic designer, so I also did some freelance graphic design.
And so now you're in Brussels. You stopped the kind of organization where you were working with other artists, and you began painting. And you didn't know whether you would have a gallery or not. But how did the first gallery show happen?
Well, because I had. Like worked with other artists in this smaller city. There was one of the artists who also had a studio there, who was in the gallery where I am in now, and she pitched my name. So they came to see my studio in Brussels when I came back from Germany. So it was just lucky shot, actually.
Yeah, well, so often it is like that. So let's talk about your painting now. Are you preparing for another show? What's the next thing you're doing in terms of your painting? Because you've
right
done
now I have
projects, right? You've done murals and other things.
Yeah, exactly. My practice isn't really. I don't tend to work in one style. I'm letting myself being influenced by stuff that I got to see through the internet and by stuff that I'm trying myself, and it's like a hybrid style I'm having, but it's in constant flux, like it's changing the whole time by things that I read and see and understand. So it's not that I'm working on one thing I'm always working on one thing at a time, but it's always evolving somehow. So right now I have an exhibition in the gallery with two other artists. And they're quite minimal paintings. They're black and white. I have to explain that before this, I was doing like every painting I made a different one. So not one painting was looking like the next one or the one before.
I mean, all paintings are different, of course, but you were intentionally trying to bring a completely different style to it?
Yeah, exactly. Some of them were more figuratively, some of them were abstract, some of them were a combination of both, some were more like comic style. So I was actually releasing all of the knowledge I had about painting, about image making on small canvases. They were like 37 by 37 centimeters. I don't know how much that is in inches, but they were quite small. So I could really work constantly on like five paintings at a time. And I did a show with them and I made 30 different paintings. And after this exhibition, I wanted to work on a little bit bigger size. So I tried this on a big canvas to find a size that I would like. And then I started to paint on this again, but while I was doing this, I found like, yeah, whatever I'm doing, it's actually fine. I can do this, I can do that. And I was overpainting every image that I made. So in the end, I overpainted it with white again, and I found that the white painting maybe was the best I could make. It's like when you have a tea kettle that is boiling, you have this whistling sound. It's like it's too much information going on, and this overload of information ended up in like a white image for me. So I made a series of six white paintings, and then after these six white, I reversed the idea and I made six black paintings, which look identical. The only thing that is different about this series is that I painted them with encaustic, which is a wax and Damar resin mixed with pigments, which gives
so,
them
so
a very
so, 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 yeah,
texture.
Yeah, that sounds gorgeous. So tell me, this is that kind of process, but how are the white paintings made? Were they, was that the same process? What was making them white? I mean, I'm thinking, of course, of, you know, other artists that have made white paintings, and so often it's really how you approach the surface of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. The first series of white paintings, I was painting them with, like I did the series before, with oils and acrylics and all different kinds of paints, also spray paint. But I wasn't happy with the texture, like you said. They were just like really, really flat images on canvas, which were really a bit dull to look at, and the textures were really interesting. So I went to the famous book of Ralph Meyer, the artist handbook with techniques, and there I found the encaustic technique, which is the one with the resin, the beeswax and the resin. So I need to learn a new technique to apply it, and I also started to paint on wood instead of canvas. So the texture of the work is actually the most interesting part about it now, because it's reflecting also the space, and there are small mistakes that I couldn't avoid because of the technique.
And so the white and black paintings that we're just speaking of are both encaustic works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I mean by, I mean, when you left before, the surface, I mean, for me, you know, encaustic is a beautiful medium, and so yeah, the surface is often gorgeous to look at, and like you're saying, it's also reflective. It can be like a mirror almost in some cases.
Yeah, especially in the black parts, the space and the person who looks at the work is reflected in the work itself. So you get a little bit absorbed into the work, and you get a play of textures and colors that are reflecting inside of it. You have it less in the white paintings, because all the colors are reflected into your face. So there you get more like a space for imagination, which I also find interesting for the viewer to look into the white space and to find their own image and maybe a moment for meditation or contemplation.
That's interesting. And the idea of maybe that can make us talk a little bit about some public work, because you've also done murals too that had something to do with the imagination, or am I misunderstanding? That was...
No, I made one mural for a project in Mechelen, which was a really big canvas with a very, abstract form. It looks like some kind of statue or a plant or anything with very bright colors. And I call this work Imagine, because it's a shape that could exist in the imagination, but doesn't really exist in real life. So it's actually something for people to think about and maybe to think in a different way, to try to imagine a different kind of world or a different kind of future or something like that.
That was a huge piece. Now I want you to go on about that, but that was also a huge work. That was the side of a building, correct?
Yeah, it was about 10 meters high. Yeah. Yeah.
So you were saying the idea of, which is really interesting because I'm, you know, I know that image and I've seen that image, and viewers who are listening to this can see links to it on the website as well as a video perhaps you made about it. But it's an image that's kind of complex in how it's weaving space going back and forth and seems to at once be something, you know, like a, mm-hmm. like a symbol or a diagram, but it defies all of that. It doesn't really have something that we can easily say, oh, it looks like this or it looks like that. It in fact looks like something that we've never seen before. So is that what you mean by other people kind of reading into it?
Yeah. Somehow, I'm giving an image, so somehow it's easy to get into it. But once you get into really looking at it and trying to define it, it's impossible to give it a word. It's like blah.
Right.
And that's why I find interesting, because it's nothing you can hold on to. And somehow it defines my way of looking at the world, because I cannot really, I understand that I'm living on this planet, and this planet is like floating through space somewhere at a really high speed, and we're all living here together on this planet, but I cannot really put my finger on it, what it really is, what it really means to be on this planet that's floating through space. So it's quite abstract thing as well. I see what it is, but I cannot understand what it is. So,
ironically, that makes sense. That's clear.
Yeah. In a way, it makes sense, but yeah, somehow it's hard to understand. I once wrote a text which was based on the book of Albert Camus, The Myth of Sisyphus, which you probably know. Which is about the absurd, and I found this philosophy really close to what I'm working on or thinking about when I'm making work. Actually,
that's interesting. And so what's happening next? You're about to have a next exhibit, or you're working on a next exhibit? Maybe talk a little bit about what those paintings look like, and also, will you be doing more murals? Is that something that you want to continue to do?
I really like doing murals, but I'm not really connected to the street art world or street art. It's a different kind of way of working with art, and it's not really connected to the gallery world. So it's really weird that those two worlds are not connected, because I find them both really interesting. But I think it mostly has to do with money, somehow, that they don't really get connected. So I really would like to do murals.
But I would think in terms of money, they almost would be connected, because if a gallery is selling your work and you have mm-hmm. large public murals, the public is seeing your work and would possibly go to the gallery. It's in the gallery's interest that you make these murals, I would imagine, because that might drive people to see your art.
But to make these works, you also need to get paid to paint these walls, and mostly there aren't really big budgets within the street art scene, so you almost have to make them for free, which wouldn't make sense, because people who buy your work in galleries have to pay a lot of money to get the work. So it's I don't know, maybe I'm making it too complicated in my mind, but those are things I'm also thinking about. And it's weird.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. It's very similar, of course, in the United States. There's very little money for street art, for public art, and when there is, traditionally, mm-hmm. even when there's a big budget, artists tend to make very little, because the whole budget is spent, often more than the budget, because mm-hmm. it's hard to estimate it really accurately.
The lift, just to rent the lift to make a mural, is really expensive, for example.
Right.
But anyway, I really would like to do more murals, if possible. Yes.
And the next works, what are the paintings that you're working on now look like?
Well, I'm actually trying to find a style right now. I'm working on a series of 18 paintings, and I'm working on 6 paintings simultaneously now. And actually, they continue on the idea I had before, and it also has to do with the mural I made and which you mentioned. But in the mural I made, there is still a sense of gravity, and there is still a form standing somewhere in a landscape, you could say. So I'm also now defying this. The gravity is gone. It's not really perspective anymore. It's going nowhere. It's a whole new space that I'm trying to create in bright colors, but also very contrasting colors and weird colors. So I'm trying to find a non-existing, weird space, which still makes sense.
It does. That sounds a little more like your analogy of, you know, how impossible it is to understand what it means for Earth to be moving through space and revolving while we're on it. It relates a little bit to the absurd. It's kind of it's understandable, but at the same time, it's a bit impossible to comprehend.
Wrap your head around. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I would think a lack of gravity, a lack of up and down in these new works may have that same effect.
Yeah, somehow it does. Yeah. So it has to do with, I'm reading about like physics and chemistry, not that I really understand about it. I recently read about the Urform. It's like a form that how the whole universe and all the small particles and everything like revolves. It's like some kind of constantly turning energy somehow. I don't know how to explain it. So that's how I try to make these forms and shapes. It's like a natural way of moving. It seems like everything is turning and moving in a natural way, but in the end you end up with something really weird to look at. That's the best way how to describe it. You have to see it, of course, but they're not really at a finished stage to exhibit them.
And is there a date for that exhibit? Will there be an exhibit coming up of those?
They will be probably shown in the gallery. So right now I have this exhibition. So I don't know when this will happen. Might take another half year before they really will be exhibited. I'm a quite slow artist in that way. I like to evolve in what I'm doing, but it might take like half a year, a year before I come out with new works. And I also want to show them in a group, so I really make a statement with what I'm doing. I don't like to show one or two new works in a group show or something.
Right.
If I'm partaking in group shows, I'm showing older work
Right. And so that's exciting that you're going to make these new works and that you're working on this and you're doing what you want now, right? Your art practice is growing and you have a gallery which is excellent and I imagine that are you still working other jobs or are you able to just paint now?
To be honest, I'm not really having a job right now. Although I'm thinking of getting a job again, I was able to not to have to work and work on my practice because I lived for an inheritance for a while. My father passed away and my grandparents also passed away, so I inherited some money. And some other people might invest in like an apartment or a place to live or a studio to work in. But I decided to invest it in my practice. But of course, this money isn't endless. So soon I will have to find a job again and start working. So it's, yeah.
Well, it's an investment in your art, but it's also an investment in in your life, right? It's a lifestyle. This is what you want and what you enjoy
yeah,
the
exactly.
most.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. that somehow I felt guilty for doing it because I know a lot of my friends who are artists who need to have a job and to they're not able to work fully in their studios, and I was able to do this because of this money, and somehow I felt guilty for be able to do this actually, but at the same time I feel that the only way to evolve in a proper way, if you want to be an artist, you have to be there every day and work every day and work hard to find something that is interesting enough to show. So it's double. It's like yeah.
Well, I think it's important, and that's an interesting thing you bring up. I mean, you know, my mother, who's no longer living, once told me, mm-hmm. you know, as I was looking for funding for art and struggling, she said, you know, the line where I believe it's Virginia Woolf says a writer needs a room of her own. And, mm-hmm. and I said, yes. And she said, well, what people don't talk about is the rest of that line. And what she's saying is a writer needs a room of her own and a windfall of money, not money by earning, not money by investment, but by windfall. So, you know, by that, you know, she means that exactly what you're talking about, a kind of inheritance or money comes to you some way in a way where you don't directly earn it. And because of that, it allows the artist, the writer, a sense of freedom that's hard to get otherwise.
Yeah. It's true.
So it was great talking to you today, Samuel, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens in the next show. Is there anything else you want to leave listeners with?
I just want to say I love you all.
Samuel, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.